The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is the Bob Siegel Show. And I'm Mark Boobian, covering for Bob, who's on vacation today. And he was gracious enough to allow me to cover for him. And I'm the itinerant film critic, official film critic, I should say, for the Bob Siegel Show. And I cover not just film, but pop culture in general, the arts in general. And I like to look at things, obviously, from a Christian perspective, because I'm a Christian, so is Bob, and that works out really well. Now, I spend a fair amount of time on the internet looking at different forums and things, and I'm used to post a lot and argue with people all the time, and I've kind of fallen back on that. But now I'm starting to sort of get back into reading stuff people are saying and taking my time and critiquing what they're saying or being a little more calm about it. And I came across something on the Christian forums. That's actually what it's called, the Christian forum. And it was a question that somebody was asking that I see quite a bit. So I was actually kind of intrigued by it. And it was this this girl, and I don't know very much about her, but she asked this, and this is what she said, okay? What am I allowed to listen to and watch? I have stopped listening to a lot of music because of bad language and raunchy lyrics, but what are the rules? Now, the reason I found this interesting is because, like I said, this is asked all the time. I think it's one of the most common questions people ask once they become a Christian, especially today in modern culture where the arts are pervasive. They really are, music in particular and film, movies. And I'm drawn to both, but I like to talk mostly about movies. And her question is broad. She talked also later on in the forum about shows she watched, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So she's actually asking the broad question: what are the rules about how we, as Christians, respond to the arts? What's okay? How do we decide? What are the rules? So, a lot of people pointed to Christian stuff for her to look into. And one person, actually, the first person to answer did the same. But before he did that, he actually posted Romans 14, which is a common passage that's used to answer this question. Sometimes it's used to justify just about everything, but it's Paul is speaking, and he says, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats certain foods also does it for the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. But he who does not eat that food, likewise, it's for the Lord that he doesn't eat. And he, too, gives thanks to the Lord. So this is kind of saying that there's things that we can do, some people are going to do as Christians, and some things that people are put off by as Christians. And it's okay in both cases. We don't want to judge each other. We don't want to point fingers. But this also gives us a fair amount of latitude and sort of tears down the idea that there's a rule to follow. And one of the big things about Christianity is, as an outflow sort of Judaism, is that we move from the law to freedom from the law, the rules to our conscience, that the Holy Spirit's guiding us, not rules any longer. But still, if there's no rules, how do we decide what's good or what's bad? Now, it's good advice. The people that said, hey, you know, listen to this Christian music, she sounded like a new believer, pointing her to stuff that will glorify God in music is a great way to go. But there's also mainstream music that she's going to listen to and that we listen to. Does that mean we should all stop, or should we continue listening to it? Is there stuff that's good or bad? Well, obviously, in our culture, you know, I like, my answer is obviously going to be a little broader, because I like movies and I tend to be fairly liberal in what I watch and what I engage in. Now, that doesn't mean everybody else should be. That's what's right for me. But, you know, we have this kind of range. Okay, so I'm gonna listen to mainstream music over Christian music. That's the way I prefer it. I'm gonna watch blockbuster movies, and I'm gonna binge on Netflix at times. Now, I do see stuff that I consider to be bad and negative, but how do I decide? Does that mean everything's okay? I mean, I'm watching this stuff that, hey, that's okay. Is that what Paul is saying? You know, he says that I eat that food, I give thanks to the Lord. Well, you know, they're obviously not everything is okay, because we have this range. Let's take Christian music, Christianity, Christian-based film. That's in one arena, but we can go way to the other side to something like, say, pornography. Now, I'm not going to argue at all that Paul is saying, hey, go watch pornography. It's okay. Everything's okay. That's taking it too far. So we have sort of these two ends, two extremes. But what about all that stuff in the middle? What do we do? So hopefully I can answer that question about how we decide. And I think in the past, I had this one experience that sort of I laughed at and made a joke about, but now I kind of look back at it and go, hmm. And it was a guy's night is what we called it. It was, I was in college, and you know, it's just a bunch of guys. So I invited friends over, and we were going to watch A Clockwork Orange. Now, if you know Clockwork Orange, or if you don't know Clockwork Orange, let me fill you in. Basically, the beginning of the film is made up of a near gang rape, followed by a gang fight, followed by an actual gang rape. And Clockwork Orange is done by Stanley Kubrick. He's a master at the visual art of film, and his camera tends to take an unflinching gaze at what he is showing on the screen. So these, you know, there's movies that talk about gang rape or have gang fights, and they're off the screen. But here, it's not off screen. It's all occurring right in front of you, and it is disturbing. I mean, it's horrifying in a lot of ways. Now, I'd seen the movie, and I've seen it several times. I love the movie. It's one of my favorite films, and partly because of the way it's filmed. But after we watched, we talked about it a little bit. We started talking about it, and one person made this statement. He said, I wonder what my spirit receives when I see stuff like this. And we all actually kind of laughed, and you know, I still kind of joke about it even to this day, because it was such a funny thing at the time to hear. But after about 20 years, and I'm dating myself, but oh well, I'm kind of thinking that maybe he nailed it. He nailed exactly the rule, so to speak. How do you decide what's okay? Now, let me tell you about another experience I had. And this is about how things affect me. All right. After I used to listen to Guns N' Roses. I don't anymore, but that's another story. Now, one of their albums, it came out and, you know, it was a big hit, biggest selling album ever at the time. And, you know, I listened to it all over the place. I loved it. And some of the songs are really, really hardcore, really fast and lots of yelling. And the topic of the song is just, you know, the world sucks and I hate the world and, you know, whatever it is. And it made me feel really amped up and aggressive. And so one time I was listening to this in the car driving home from work and I had a long drive. So I listened to like six of these songs in a row that was pounding on me and, you know, going crazy. And so I'm in the whatever lane I'm in and this car gets in front of me and they're going like 50 and I was going about 70. And of course, I'm a California driver. I'm not happy about this guy. He's an idiot. Of course he's an idiot. And he gets right in front of me. And so I change lanes really quick and I actually slowed down to the point that I was going 50 and I get right next to the car and I honked my horn. Now I was in an SUV, so I'm up above their car a little bit. So I could look into the window and see, I saw the passenger. And when I honked my horn, it was this elderly lady and she jumped out of her seat like I scared her to death. And I went, oh my gosh, that's not what I wanted to do. I was, you know, just trying to honk at the car. I don't know. I don't know what I expected. Well, whatever I expected, what I did was wrong. I was being a jerk. I was, you know, they weren't the jerk. I was now. And even if the lady wasn't in the seat, me honking at the guy for getting in front of me, come on. But really, this, I was just so pumped up. I was just, I've got to get him. And I realized, you know, that there's something inside of me here that when I'm driving, that kind of comes out, that's not so great. And hey, this Guns N' Roses stuff is helping it come out. And that's not so great either. So I kind of stopped listening to Guns N' Roses in the car because of that effect, what it was doing to me and how I was responding as a driver. And we'll talk a little bit more about this after the break. This is The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm Mark Booby and filling in for Bob, and he is on vacation. Maybe if you go to Disneyland, you'll catch him hugging Winnie the Pooh, possibly. And I was actually going to make fun of him about that, but now I realize I would love a hug from Winnie the Pooh. So maybe I'll head out to Disneyland later. Okay, so I was talking about how I responded to this very aggressive song and how I, you know, treated somebody very badly because this I was being affected by something that I was listening to, a work of art, so to speak. So to speak, it's Guns N' Roses. You know, I'm being pretty liberal with the definition of art there, but, you know, we'll roll with that. But my response here was to, okay, I'm not listening to Guns N' Roses in the car anymore. Now, I didn't stop listening to Guns N' Roses outright until later. That's kind of another story, but let's just say they treat their fans like garbage. Okay, and they do, and that's why I stopped listening to them. But my response was something that was relatively practical. Okay, I'm not going to listen to them. That made me too aggressive, and it alerted me to, hey, I'm being too much of a jerk in the car. Now, I'm not perfect anymore, but I've definitely mellowed out since those days. I don't do it exactly right, but I try. So this response, though, was relatively practical, I think. Just, you know, okay, I can't listen to that anymore. Now, J. Vernon McGee, who teaches through the Bible, he does a 5-year Bible study. And it's on the radio and you can listen to it. It's on daily. He says we serve a practical God and he makes that point. He's actually a very practical preacher himself as he goes through the Bible. But, and this is a God that cares about us down to the most mundane thing, even to the point of what we eat or let's say what we listen to or what we watch or whatever. So, God is practical, so a practical response to something is something that God, I think, would bless. Now, that's not in the Bible. I'm not saying this is biblical per se, but just by my particular response, we want to take a look and see if how we're reacting to certain works of art. And I think going back to what my friend said, how is my spirit responding? Well, in this case, my spirit was responding pretty badly. So I, you know, had to do something about it. Now let's go to movies. Now I already mentioned A Clockwork Orange. And I would say that Clockwork Orange is one of the most violent movies ever made. And graphically, it is incredibly, incredibly disturbing. Now, I showed it one time at in college for a fundraiser. And this is college students. You know, people are very open-minded in college. That's, you know, you're learning, exploring new things. So I thought, hey, Clockwork Orange, great movie. Good for college students. Well, about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people walked out of the movie in the first half an hour. And I think it was one of the gang rape scenes that did it. And it was that bad. I mean, people are going to walk out of this movie. It's that hard to watch. And this friend, he said, you know, he had this question. What does my spirit receive when I see this movie? It made him ask that question. Well, for me, I don't respond to A Clockwork Orange like I responded in the car to Guns N' Roses. Now, of course, I'm going to view these scenes with absolute horror and disgust, which I do. And sometimes I'll kind of go past those scenes because as the movie progresses, it calms down quite a bit. But, you know, I understand Kubrick was going for this horror and disgust. I think that's what he was shooting for. And obviously he accomplished it because in this movie, we're faced with the question of free will. And when we consider free will, we really do need to consider the example of somebody who is absolutely horrible in how they exercise their free will. If we're going to say that free will is something amazing and beautiful that God gave us, well, we've got to look at how are we using that free will? And I think that's part of the theme of the movie. I mean, God did not create humans as fearfully and wonderfully made only on the outside and a mechanism and an automaton on the inside spinning away each day like a clock. That's not how God made us. He made us with free will. And there's something imperative and important about that. And sure, we as human beings can abuse that a lot, but that doesn't mean that it's all terrible. Anyway, I'm getting into the theme of the movie, but when I watch A Clockwork Orange, I'm not receiving in my spirit, so to speak, something that's terrible. I respond to the movie, but it doesn't get under my skin, let's say. It doesn't cause me to be constantly afraid of rape. Or when I'm watching it, I don't feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to go rape somebody. Obviously not. Now, it doesn't entice me like that, nor does it make me lash out in anger at the injustice or the horror of rape. I don't have that kind of response either. Very different than how I responded with Guns N' Roses. So I'm looking at what my spirit receives here, and it's not really having this deep, dark effect on me. And so I'm able to watch a movie like A Clockwork Orange to get by with it. Now, of course, all those people that walked out, they wanted nothing to do with it, and they couldn't handle it. And I used to think, oh gosh, what bozos, they can't handle this movie, come on. But of course, their spirit, even if they're not Christian, they have a spirit, or their mind or their soul, whatever. The movie was getting under their skin and they needed to get out of there. And that's a perfectly valid response because of who they are. Now, I mentioned binging on Netflix. Now, I've watched several shows on Netflix. Breaking Bad, of course, which is absolutely talks about one of the most horrible things ever. And we've got this bad guy that is just absolutely atrocious, but he's the good guy. And I guess we'll have to talk about him a little bit more after the break. And this is the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Booby and filling in for Bob.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm Mark Booby and covering for Bob and the ignorant film critic for The Bob Siegel Show. Right now, I'm actually going to be the TV critic because I'm talking about Breaking Bad. Now, Breaking Bad is a show that deals with drugs. It's a huge part of the show. And basically, it's about this teacher who starts selling drugs to make ends meet, so to speak. And he falls deeper and deeper and deeper into the drug trade. And we see him basically become this terrible, evil. He's doing evil acts. Is he an evil person? That's a good question. But throughout the show, there's drug use, there's drug making, there's murders, there's just about everything you can imagine from the drug trade. Now, the last time I was on the show, I confessed to being an addict. And I actually watched Breaking Bad with all the drugs and everything when I was going through withdrawal. My last time going through withdrawal off of opiates, which is what my drug of choice is. Now, Breaking Bad didn't deal with that particular drug, but I watched drug use throughout the show. Now, fortunately for me, that didn't actually trigger me in any way. My spirit, so to speak, did not respond to that. Now, if this was a show about opiates, which was my drug of choice, instead it's about crystal meth, I probably would have responded completely differently and had to stop watching the show because I would be triggered. I would actually respond in a way that I would probably want to take drugs, and that would not be a good thing for me, obviously. So there's actually a scene in the show where Kristen Ritter is, her boyfriend has just said, I'm going to go do this heroin, but it's a special mix of heroin that really gets you really high, but knocks you out. And this was her drug of choice. So she said, I'm not going to do it. I'm leaving. And she walks to the door and she pauses and she is there fighting with the decision whether or not to go back. Unfortunately, she loses this battle and does return to do drugs. And it leads to her ultimate demise, her death in the end. Now, for me, as a drug addict, I responded to this scene. This was one of the greatest scenes about drugs that I've ever seen, because that moment is a moment that I myself have faced many, many times. And unfortunately, I must say, I've responded so many times like Kristen Ritter. But to see that portrayed on the screen, I see myself there. I saw myself in that, and it reminded me of how difficult the battle is without drugs, how difficult my own personal battle is, and how important it is to keep fighting. So there is something to be learned from that moment in this overall pretty awful, you know, dealing with very terrible things show. And I was able to watch the whole show and, again, have no problems. I felt that there was a lot of good thematic elements that you could pull out of this show. And that's generally what I try to do when I talk about movies and TV or books, whatever. I try to bring out the things that are good or that we can see as Christians, maybe that are even bad per se. But there's people that would be tempted by this kind of show and can't watch it. So again, you want to think about what your spirit receives when you are deciding what to engage in the arts. There's no rule per se. Now, another example with Kristen Ritter in mind again is the Netflix show Jessica Jones, one I binge watched also. And this deals with a woman who's in she's having PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder from a rape, but it's a long-term rape. And it's actually in the realm of superheroes and super villains. It's a rape of her mind. She was captured, so to speak, by a guy who could, anything he told her to do, she would do. And that worked with any other human being. Now, in the show, I'm watching the show and she gets together with another superhero that she's, they like each other and they eventually end up in bed together. And there's this sex scene. Now, here's where I start to have trouble. I don't respond well to sex scenes. That is my sin, so to speak, something I have to deal with on a regular basis, watching that. And that's where I have to draw the line with what my particular spirit receives. So, but I don't want to miss the show. And the good news is I'm on Netflix, so I can just fast forward. So I'm fast forwarding. Okay. Here they go. All right. And then, okay. Are they done? No. Fast forward some more. Come on. Are they done? No, they're not. Come on. Man, is this ever going to end? It was like a 5-minute scene. Give me a break. Come on, Netflix. You don't have to. All right, whatever. But I got past it by fast forwarding and was able to watch the rest of the show. I don't think there was any more of that going on. Thank God. And there's a lot I could pull out from the show. For example, as a guy, it's hard for me to relate to rape of women because I'm not a woman. And I know guys get raped. It's very uncommon, but that happens. But it's not something guys think about or can even really, I think, completely understand at the level another woman could. Now, with that said, when the rape of her mind that was going on throughout the show, I was able to relate to that. And I was able to kind of not experience her PTSD, but empathize with it so much that I really engaged with her character. And it was a really, really good element for me as a man and as a Christian to understand how absolutely horrifying rape is on a different level than even I experienced in watching A Clockwork Orange. Even they don't even show the rape in this show, but it's just so powerful that the rape of her mind for me as a guy that I really related. So there's a lot of stuff that's good I can pull out of that show. Fortunately, I was able to skip over the stuff that would affect me. Now, I also saw the movie Brokeback Mountain. Now that, a lot of people protested, a lot of Christians protested, and I personally believe that was wrong. But we can talk about that a little bit more after the break. This is The Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Boubian.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker, Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
This is The Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Boubian, film critic for The Bob Siegel Show, and I'm filling in for Bob, who's on vacation. So I was talking about Brokeback Mountain, or starting to. So As I said, Christians protested this movie, which, you know, I'm not going to do. I think it's wrong personally. So I'm not going to protest any movie, pretty much, or any TV show or any book, I guess. But I did go watch the movie to review it here on The Bob Siegel Show. And one of the things that happens in Brokeback Mountain is there's a sex scene, but it's a two guys because it's a movie about homosexuality. Now, again, watching the movie, there's a sex scene. I know it's in the movie. I know it's coming. And so when it finally arrives, I closed my eyes and covered my ears because I didn't want to watch it. I know it's happening. I don't need to see it. Thank you very much. Just like Jessica Jones, just like in that, I didn't want to see it because it might have an effect on me negatively that might stick with me that I don't want. Now, I'm not that much in danger of that from Brokeback Mountain, but still, why take a chance? I don't even, you know, plus I'm not gay, so that's not appealing to me per se as a guy, but I still don't want to watch it. And so what happens in the movie is that, you know, there is this gay scene, but this isn't the be-all, end-all of the film. Yes, it's about the struggle, the pain, and the despair in some ways that homosexuality causes a person. But it, or I should say, the movie was about how society responds to homosexuality, and that's the cause of this despair and pain for these two guys. So I don't want to put the blame on the movie put the blame on society, which is in some ways very accurate. Well, in a lot of ways, duh, of course. But this isn't all that there is about the movie. Now, one of the things we learn from a character is that his father's terrible. He's got this awful father that, you know, that he can't stand. And the other character has this father that loves him. We learn as the movie progresses that actually their fathers are the opposites of what they saw, which is kind of an interesting twist. And I wasn't sure what they were trying to say there, but it turns out that one of the two characters dies in a gay bashing incident. And so it's a tragic death. And his boyfriend, his lover, who's played by Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger goes to his parents' house and they've already buried the boy in the backyard and because they're on a farm or whatever. And that's where their whole family plot is out there. So what happens is that Heath Ledger goes and he wants to take the body and bury it at Brokeback Mountain because, you know, he cares. He loves this guy and he wants this for him. And the father very gruffly, you know, no, you can't do it. He's staying here. He's buried here. He's staying here. And then Heath Ledger asks again, I think. And then the father repeats it. But in his gruffness, you can hear that it's not, darn it, my son is staying here. It's, I love him and I want him to be here. I want to be reminded of him. You know, it's an expression of love. I think even greater than what Heath Ledger was expressing. And in the movie, Heath Ledger recognizes that, I think, and stops asking. But the other thing that happens is that the mother says, I was expecting you. And you, if you want, you can go look at his things and take something with you. Your dead boyfriend. Now, this is all done under the view or under the icon on the wall of a cross. Now, this is the only decoration in the whole house. The walls are whitewashed completely, but there's one single cross, and it stays in frame in the film movie frame pretty much throughout these scenes, especially when the mother's speaking. Now, never does she say, you're a terrible person, you're gay, you're going to hell. Nor does she say, it's okay, you're gay, I you're going to heaven. You know, she doesn't say either. She shows an unconditional love for this boy that wants to, you know, she's showing him the care. He wants a piece of this person that he loved. Okay. And Heath Ledger is going to walk away with this view of a mother who loves her son, but loves other people unconditionally. And the father who loves his son unconditionally. Now, I see this as a reflection of God. God loves us unconditionally. Now, he doesn't like sin. He hates sin, but he loves us. And he's given us a way out of sin, ultimately. And it's by his grace that we get out of sin through Jesus Christ. That's how much he loves us. It says in the Bible, for God so loved every person in the world that he gave his only son. And that's the reflection. We see a reflection of that love in Brokeback Mountain. Now, if I had given up on the gay scene, or if I had just turned away from the movie and protested it without seeing it, I wouldn't have experienced this moment in the film that is one of the greatest Christian scenes I've ever experienced in a film. It was absolutely wonderful. Now, again, I am not affected so much by what I saw in the film. And where I get to a point where I know there's something that I really don't want to see or shouldn't see, I'm going to close my eyes and ears. And I didn't miss something imperative to the theme. So that's a good thing. So again, this idea of what is my spirit receiving? That is a great guideline to go by. And my response, how I respond, is also important. Recognizing that my spirit, my soul, my mind, whatever, is receiving something that it shouldn't, or that's going to affect me, I need to be aware of that and respond to it appropriately. And this is the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Booby, and covering for Bob, who's on vacation.
Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Check out this reader's comment about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but Mr. Siegel's book was like no other I've ever read on the subject. He does not attack the skeptic for his views. He respects the belief of his readers. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's ever had questions or confusion about Christianity. And here's another reader's comment. I come from a Muslim, atheist background, but it still carried weight with me. I normally pass books on to friends when done reading them. This one, I'm holding on to for a while. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
This is the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Booby, and filling in for Bob, who is still on vacation. And talking about the wisdom of a friend from 20 years ago, just a small statement that I laughed at, understand as something that is actually a great truth. I wonder what my spirit receives when I see that. That is a great guideline to go by. Now, how do we respond? Like I said, I've been talking a little bit about my responses, how putting stuff away, not listening to Guns N' Roses, closing my eyes when I'm going to see something. I have a lot of other examples of things that have happened in the past with film and giving me the ability to go see a film that I know is going to have some negative effect on me, but might have a very positive theme or some kind of positive imagery in it. And so I've had to actually protect myself in a lot of ways. Now, I mentioned earlier that I'm against censorship, and that is absolutely true. I don't believe in censoring anything. And that's an extreme statement, but I really hold by it. And part of it is because the things that are censored are the things that we want to protect as Americans are not the things we agree with, but the things we don't agree with, because eventually somebody's not going to agree with us. So in order to not be a total hypocrite, but also in order to be consistent on what we're protecting and realizing that it's protecting that thing that I don't agree with, eventually it might come back to me. So that's not the only reason, but that's a big part of why I don't believe in censorship. Now, I mentioned that Christians have protested movies in the past. That's a big thing that Christians tend to do. I don't agree with that. Same with books. Now, there's been calls to, you know, get books out of children's libraries and schools and things like that. And that's a tough one. But that expands into other areas where libraries in general get the books out of there and so on. I usually celebrate Banned Books Week, and I've been on the show a couple of times talking about it and reading the list off of banned books and challenged books, as they call them, books that may or may not have gotten banned but were called to be removed. And there's always a list of things. And there's actually quite a few things that come up every time. This year, a book came up, and it just so happens to be the Bible. Now, me as a Christian, hey, this is going to come back to me someday. Now, the Bible has been on the list before, and it's been requested to be banned, I'm sure, many times, just like I'm sure the Book of Quran has and so on. But let's just talk about the Bible. Let's see maybe why would it be banned? Now, the answer might not be so obvious, but let's take a look at some of the things that are in the Bible. Now, there's where David, the famous story of David and Goliath. It's such a great story that it's a kid's story. We use it as a children's story. Now, this was a big victory. This is a sign of David's faith, how he was led to this. He had the faith to trust in God, and he beat Goliath. Now, what we kind of leave out is the part where he takes his sword and chops off Goliath's head. Now, imagine that in a movie. And let's say Stanley Kubrick's making that movie with his unflinching eye. Now, that would be quite a horrible image to see. Now, let's talk about someone else. Samson, he was not the best example throughout his life. You know, Samson and Delilah, he's the strongest man ever and so on. That, again, is another story that we, a kid's story. It's a great kid's story because Samson's a strong guy and he beats the Philistines all over the place. Those are the bad guys. What we kind of leave out is what he does to prove that he killed so many Philistines. Well, he takes their foreskin because they're not circumcised and he puts them in a bag and he carries them back. Now, once again, imagine this in a movie. Quite awful, I think. An image I really don't want in my head, to be honest. Then there's the guy that's so fat, the knife gets swallowed into his stomach when he's stabbed, or the other one that has a tent stake hammered into his head. How about the city being destroyed because of drunkenness? That's the sin, and their whole city was destroyed. That's something terrible, especially for me, because that applies to me as an addict. There's tons of examples. You know, even David again having trying to kill Bathsheba's husband, and then he has sex with her and she gets pregnant and that causes a whole mess. Anyway, this is something that you don't really see a lot about David when we celebrate this wonderful romance, but we don't necessarily want to engage in the horror of sin that David experienced or did. But these are things that are in the Bible. There's even things that God says that I actually, you know, have thought, okay, I'm going to read this on the show, but I don't think I even can because it's not in the ratings of this show, and it's God speaking. So God does not shy away from terrible images to make a point. Now, these are things that we would censor because they're so absolutely disgusting and awful. We would not want these in a movie. We don't want these in a library. We don't want to see kids reading these things. Well, the reason the Bible's actually pulled out of libraries is because it's about Christianity. It's challenged for religious content. Now, that's the real reason the Bible gets challenged, and that's the real reason it was challenged, according to the MLA, the Library Association. And look at all this terrible stuff, and we're pointing out religion, because religion is such a hot-button issue. But that's the very thing that we as Christians don't want it to be challenged for. Of course, we want Christianity to be everywhere, of course, and we want people to be able to read the Bible. But we also have to be real about it. We have to understand that the Bible is going to have terrible things in it. And I'm not just talking about things about Jesus that people disagree with. There are horrible things because God deals with human beings on a very real level. So the horrible things that we do, which are very real, that we do as sinful people, things that we still see today in some ways, murders, rapes, I could continue, those things are in the Bible, and they're sometimes a little bit graphic. But we don't protest that. We don't say, hey, we should get this out of there for that reason. So this really is where I go when I say we shouldn't censor things. This is the reason, because we are the people, the Christians, calling for censorship, but we don't know the standard this that we're using actually applies to the very book that we hold most holy. We hold it most holy for a good reason, of course. Now, the reason I've mentioned the spirit and how your spirit responds is because Paul says, do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit that leads you to speaking in psalms and glorifying God. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads us. And that ultimately is the answer to how we decide. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the things that the Spirit is telling you. And you'll grow as a Christian to learn more and more about that. Learn how to listen to the Spirit more and more. But that is the ultimate answer. We listen to the Spirit. He leads us away from drunkenness and towards praise for the Lord, who deserves it. This is the Bob Siegel Show. Thank you for listening. I'm Mark Boubian, and we'll see you next week.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.